Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Bump and Stacey
on Seattle Sports.
Streaming through the Seattle Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacey Ross.
Here we go now.
Trevor May going to be in studio with us. He's walking down the hallway right now, coming out of a meeting, which gives you guys a minute or two to get your questions in for Trevor. Now, we are asking Trevor mostly his thoughts like on the Mariners, on what's going on with this team. We'll take a look around MLB just a little bit. We got 25 minutes with him. You can send those questions in to the Mac and Jack's text line, 866-979-3776. Again, that number is 866-979-3776. You know what I'm most curious to know about Bump?
What's that?
I want to know the following. I want to know the nastiest pitch he's ever seen from any Mariners player.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know who he'd least want to face for anyone on the Mariners lineup.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I want to know maybe a genuine feeling about, is this a team that can win the AL West? Which is something that Scott Service has made clear, as he should, is their goal.
Yeah, it's going to be cool to get a perspective from a guy who's played in the bigs and can answer those questions in ways that you and I probably cannot do it. So, no, it's going to be exciting, man, especially with this team, because we're looking for optimism, right? We're looking for hope. We're looking for something to make us believe that this is the year. We don't want the win it all on the whiteboard. Mm-hmm. We don't want the this is a World Series type of team. We just want to see some production. So they're going to have an opportunity here. What, the 28th? The season starts, I believe.
Yeah.
And it's right around the corner.
Right around the corner. It is this month.
Yeah.
It is a couple weeks from now, which I learn a couple always means too. Trevor May joining us now in studio. And we have so many Mariners questions. We're going to get to a little stuff for some other teams, too. Obviously, news of Gerrit Cole changes kind of how we're talking about the Yankees to start the season. We always have our eye on American League teams. And we are going to start, though, looking in Peoria, where the Mariners are at spring training. Trevor, nice to have you in studio. Thanks for hanging out with us.
Thanks for having me.
We're very, very excited to have you here. Excited to get some insight.
Got that voice.
I know that radio voice.
I've been practicing.
Just in a mic at home, like low you can possibly get it.
Oh, yeah. I got lots of mics at home.
Fantastic. So we'll start with just looking at the Mariners as a whole. This offseason started with a lot of controversy.
Mm-hmm.
You are no stranger to Jerry DePoto's 54% comments. What did you make of those, by the way? Not to like rehash old things, but what was your reaction?
I was very similar to a lot of the fan base. I don't think anyone wants to hear that. On its face, it makes a lot of sense. I know Jerry's a smart guy. I don't think anyone's refuting that. But I think his bedside manner could be a little bit better at times. And, you know, at the end of the day, we do this. I'm no longer a player, so maybe you should stop saying that. But, you know, you do this for the fans. That's what it's for. And if you kind of just, like, kind of go at him like that, it's not the best situation. And it's funny, I've had a lot of conversations since then with a lot of my friends, because I'm actually pretty high on a lot of the moves, and they just don't want to hear it. They're like, nah, terrible offseason, I'm so mad.
So it's like they're still mad about what Jared, because that's kind of what we encounter too. And Bump and I were really, I mean, we've been pretty critical of the Mariners before, and then both of us have kind of gotten to this point of being like, well, shoot, it's a pretty nice roster right now. kind of looking at the moves
well
and thinking
together,
like, all right, like they made some stuff happen. What move do you like especially?
Polanco.
Yeah.
So I played with Jorge for a lot of his career, and he is one of the more underrated players, I think, in the league. But he also fills this huge hole on the team with the second baseman in such a question mark here for so long, and that's his primary position. He's a switch hitter. He's got some gap-to-gap power, but he's also, like, he's not home run or anything. Like, so that's kind of, like, what the team needed. There was just a lot of strikeouts recently. A lot of good hitters, but, like, you know, I love Suarez and I love Teoscar, but they missed a lot. And you need guys to put the ball in play. So he's gonna close that up a little bit. I think they're going to put him right in front of Julio, and Julio's going to get a lot more pitches to hit, even more than he was getting. So I think that adding him in there is a huge, huge deal for this team.
Trevor, I play football, and when preseason started, I had to be ready to go. I'm fighting for the team, get on every single year. Baseball's a bit different, especially, you know, being a pitcher, being on the mound or whatnot. We come out, we see Castillo, his first start. He's got some gas. They're saying, man, we didn't expect him to throw that hard. And these you guys like Brash, who get banged up a little bit. What is it like mentally for a pitcher going into spring training, knowing that, okay, I don't have to have my best stuff right now. I might get lit up a little bit, but just stick to the course. How do you prepare for something like that?
Yeah, it's tough. And it changed like rapidly for me because I went from not really knowing what my role was going to be or like, you know, I was competing for something, that was kind of out of my control to, like, after you sign as a free agent, you're kind of slotted in. And once you're slotted in, you can be like, all right, I know I got to get 8 outings in, and then I'm good. And right. I can give up, you know, 12 runs, and no, it'll be all right. But I want to see some success before I get there. And then, you know, the other 7 years of my career was like, I got to be throwing maximum, got to be there day one, ready to go. I got to impress some people. We always joke and say you can't make the team on the first day, but then like 80% of the guys are trying to make the team on the first day. It didn't matter how many times you heard it. It always happened. So, yeah, it's odd as a pitcher, especially as like a starter. You got to go easy because it takes a while to ramp. So it depends on who you are and where you are in your career. But for the vast majority of guys, it's just nerve-wracking from day one, and it's 6 weeks long. So it's like it can get taxing quick, but that's just the name of the game of baseball.
Trevor May in studio with us right now. One of the common things this year has been, hey, the Mariners need to start earlier. Like, you're in a really tight AL West race. You know, last year you needed a spectacular August, 21 wins, to pull yourself out of a hole, and then you were right there. A common question that we get, like this one from the 253, is, with expectations being so high, when is the saying it's still early unexcitable or inexcusable? As a player, do you ever feel like we need to start winning? Or do you kind of have that traditional, like, 162 games? Like, when does the pressure kick in?
Yeah, that's another interesting one, because I played in Minnesota, who's pretty laid back generally as a fan base. Then I went to New York, which is the exact opposite of that.
Yeah. They're probably booing in April.
Yeah, they're expecting you to be locked in for every moment, and that's just the nature of New York sports. So that plays into it a little bit. But when it comes to, like, it's still early, we're still figuring this thing out philosophy-wise, yeah, I think the Mariners have established how they win games and how pitching is going to be their strong suit for the most part. The park has a lot to do with that. It's a good pitcher's park, and they've had notoriously good pitching for pretty much forever. So that's something that you can count on. And then it's just going to be like, when, if Jerry's the GM, these are the type of moves. Like, getting the big guy, you're going to get one every once in a while. You're going to get a Robbie Ray every once in a while. But it's just not going to be something that happens here. And so it's hard to project as much here, and it can get frustrating at times. But I think we're past the, it's still, I don't think we can say that anymore. I think Cal, when he got mad, he got frustrated last year. Prime example. He hears 54%. He's like, man, I'm on the team now, man. I don't want to wait for 4 years. Like, I want to win.
Yeah.
Like, if you want us to be bought in to win now, we can't act like you didn't expect us to do it, because that doesn't, like, it doesn't feel like you're there with us. We're even on the same page. And that's what he's trying to say. And I don't even know if that's ever been resolved. But, like, as a player, I was like, that wouldn't make me feel like we're on the same page here.
Yeah.
Like, I'm here to win now, because I'm here now. I don't want to wait. You don't want to wait till I'm gone and then just start winning, because you're like, oh, finally we got there. Like, let's do it now. We're one guy away. Let's do it now.
Well, we feel like pitching will lead the charge, hopefully, when it comes to this ball club, right? What type of support do you think this team needs? Last year we saw a lot of runners in scoring position, them not getting it in. We heard they want to be a power type of team. Mm-hmm. Powerful at some point. Is it throughout a season, do you become the team you want to be towards the end of the year? Or are there peaks and valleys to where, all right, for this week, we're just a contact type of team because of who we're playing and where we are? Or do you kind of want to start that way and just continue to climb, if that makes any sense to you?
I think generally, yes. If you're okay still finding your identity, you got new guys. They got a lot of new guys in that lineup, too. So they're going to kind of figure out, like, how they're going to win. Like I said, how they're going to win games, who's going to be having their good years, who's not going to be doing as well, who can lean on. You got to hope some guys you weren't counting on kind of step into those roles, too. But then, like, yeah, there's going to be weeks where you lose, like, a couple guys go down with, like, an oblique or something, and they need, like, 2 weeks off. Like, you're like, okay, we're missing a guy that we need, so let's just, like, tread water. Let's try to go 500 here. Like, there's the times where you're okay with that. But if you're all there and you should be cooking, you want to be cooking. But you can't expect – it's so long. You can't expect, like, all five of your starting pitchers to be healthy all year and pitch great every single time they pitch, because it's just – it's impossible to count on that. If you do, though, you're going to win. You're going to win it all. But being hot at the end of the year, especially with how the playoffs are now, is probably the number one thing you need to do. It really, you got to sneak in and then just be hot in the playoffs.
Yeah.
You know quite a bit about pitching, a thing or two.
Yeah,
a couple The Mariners have a great staff. They've also got some good bullpen arms. So all pitchers included, who's got the filthiest pitch? Like single pitch, not like best pitcher where you're like, I would never want to face that.
It's Matt Brash's slider.
Yeah?
It's not even close. I'm doing this YouTube series called Punching Tickets where we go over a really nasty pitch. And the first one I did was Matt Brash. So
how does he do it?
I have no idea. I haven't figured it out.
Genuinely, I don't understand.
He actually, in 2022, someone did an article about him changing his slider to throw it harder. And it's called The Art of Pitch Tunneling. And it's a super nerdy article, but read it if you're into that kind of stuff. But I read it. Actually, Adam Ottavino gave it to me. He's like, hey, have you seen this? I'm like, no. And it's basically proposes that you're breaking pitch needs to be within a certain mile an hour and movement of your fastball in order to look like it for longer.
Okay.
And so he changed something and he threw his slider like 8 miles an hour harder. He figured out a way to throw his curveball just 10 miles an hour harder than it was. And it moves the same way, but it's way harder. And so it became tunneling. And then guys just started, it was just crazy. It was like 80% of the time they were swinging and missing. And so I was like, I'm going to do that. So I changed my slider. Just after this article, and I don't throw, I never threw the slider like him, but the first one I threw after reading the article and practicing it, swing and miss, and I hadn't got one in like 2 months. So I was like, something to this. I love this guy. Yeah. So, and then I just been watching him. He's made some of the, like, Jose Ramirez from the Guardians is like one of the best pure hitters I've ever faced, and he made him look like a little kid in the box, and I've never seen it before. So if he can do that to him, he fell down, and I've never seen J-Ram fall down. So, he's impressive for sure.
But Trevor, you're an 80s baby, big ups 80s baby. Yeah, yeah. And I think we
just
are
barely. Technically.
We're special. Yeah, he's 80. It says 89.
89.
He's 80.
Yeah. I count myself as 90.
Well, you do what you do. You do what you do. But I think we're a special breed because we're young enough to remember, old enough to remember, like when people were juicing and the traditions were a bit different towards now things are changing a bit. Right. And the main thing that I question in baseball is the celebrations. I saw on your Twitter, you mentioned something about celebrating in baseball and I'm glad that you're here because you're a pitcher. Mm-hmm. Football, we go nuts.
Oh yeah.
Anything happens, we go nuts.
I can't imagine.
And then in baseball, it's like, if you stare too long, you flip the bat too hard, you're going to get beamed, but then the pitcher's going to strike out and they're going eight, you know what? Yeah. And I go, all right, what's the balance here? So as a pitcher, right, if you toss me up one, I'm not even touching it probably, let's pretend like I do, and I go yard, and I let out a roar or give you a little look, are you still hitting the next guy? And do you think it should still be like that?
It's funny. I the line I draw too is like, it's the look. Did you look at me?
Uh-huh.
Are you punking me?
Right.
Because at the end of the day, it's like, you know, we both know it's one of those sports that's so hard. Like just I kind of think it's like hockey players like aren't in control of the puck. They're just like trying to keep it in front of them.
Right.
It's like you're out of control all the time. There's a lot of that going on in baseball. Everything's so fine. So we all like there's a level of like, dude, I get it. It's really hard. We play so much that you can't be like hyped up all the time. It's every day.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a level of like business as usual going on. But if you like, for example, Jose Bautista's famous homer in 2015 where he threw the bat over his shoulder and whatever, he didn't look at anybody. I thought that was perfect. I'm like, that he could have cartwheeled around the, like, that's when you do it. It's the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
But if you like look at me and then yell, and now it's personal, you and I have a conflict, I might not hit the next guy, but I'm definitely going to hit you. So like, that's like I feel like it's there's winning and then there is like rubbing your face in it. And the same thing with pitchers. If pitchers turn to their dugout or at the guy and tell him to sit down or something, you now have a problem. If he charges you or you guys get in a brawl, it's your fault.
Right.
Like that, I'm not cool with that either. But if a guy pimps a homer, he looks at only his buddies and they're excited and whatever, I should have thrown a better pitch. But the same thing with pitchers. If they celebrate and they're really pumped and they don't direct it, like where you're trying to punk, I just don't understand the need. Because you're just trying – it's just going to keep going.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing that just never ends. And that's what happened with the Blue Jays and
and
the Rangers. It literally went on for 3 years where someone got almost knocked out on the middle of the field, which I'm sure the fans loved watching that. But, like, you don't want to see that all the time. So it's like that's what it comes down to. And the college now has a rule for that. Like, as long as you don't direct it at the other team, you're good. And then we got all these kids just directing to the other team immediately.
Going yeah. nuts.
Because like, they think that's part of it. I don't understand why. They called me old head all year last year. So, I might just be old here. But, like, I just don't. I never felt the need to do it. I could celebrate. I celebrated literally every save I got. But, like, no, it didn't see anybody mad at me.
Yeah.
Like, because I wasn't like, you suck and I'm the best. Like, that wasn't the point.
The point
was just for me to be the best.
I'm with that. Just direct the energy towards your people and you get to go.
And then go. Then now there's no limit for me. Like, you can celebrate forever. And I'll just have to wear it because that's kind of the point. You're supposed to be, like, you're supposed to have your pride hurt. It's a sport.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're supposed to feel. Not anger. Like, dang. Like, that's what you're supposed to feel.
But right? Have you had it directed towards you, and did you do anything ever?
Have I had it directed toward me? There's been a couple little things. I once had someone pimp something a little bit and look at me a little bit, and he was a rookie, and then it went off the top of the wall and he hit a single. And then he got on the first base and he said to our first baseman, I've been playing long enough, no, that's a homer. And he's like
a rookie?
And he's like 22. And I was like, for the rest of the season, I'm like, man, I don't like this kid at all. Actually, I like him now because I've heard great things about him, and he's just like, I don't even know if he's messing around, but like my first baseman who doesn't lie to me was like, hey man, he said this about you. And now I just wanted him to swing and miss every single time. Like,
would you say who it was? Do it. You said you like him now.
Yeah, of course. I don't play anymore. Pete Alonso told me this, and it was Michael Harris Jr. from the Braves. So like, I had a chip. I was a little mad about that. But like at the same time, I'm like, this is kind of what it's about. Like, I doubt this was even close to as big as I'm making it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I kind of want it to be anyway. So there was a little bit of that, and at this point, to be honest, Pete's the only one who said anything, and he could have just been gassing me up. He's been doing that before. So I wouldn't be surprised if, like, this year I'm interviewing Harris and he knows. He's like, hey, man, I never said that.
Pete was just trying to start it.
Fine. I just wanted to go with it because I wanted my Michael Jordan moment, just making stuff up so I can get myself.
Whatever gets you going.
Yeah, you take that personally.
Uh-huh. Yeah, just take everything personally, even if it's not real.
You mentioned you play with Polanco. What's he like as a person and as a player? What should M's fans expect from this dude?
He is very versatile. He's a really good player, and he does everything really well. Like he's a gamer. He's a big game player too. I always loved that about him. Like, he's unfazed by pressure. He's very, like, you're gonna see. He's gonna have the same look on his face all the time. He's really laid back. He's like a quiet guy. Since Locker goes about his business, it's so funny because we had the same agency for a long time when he was a rookie, and we came up around the same time. I'm older, but he got up really young, and he used to tell my agent, like, he's like, I don't think Trevor likes me, because I walk around like with the look on my face, like I'm, you know, I got resting not so good face. So he always thought I didn't like him because I didn't talk to anybody, but like, that's just the way I am. So for a long time he was like afraid of me because I looked like I was mad all the time, and then it just, we became buddies over time. So he's real fun loving, and you guys are gonna love him, man. He plays so hard. I know he's got a little banged up last couple of years, but I think he's primed. This is a good place for him to be.
Yeah,
it really is. I'm really excited to see how he plays here.
We opened up the Mac and Jack's text line for listeners to send in some questions for you. Okay. So some of them aren't necessarily just about the Mariners.
Uh-huh.
Again, that number is 866-979-3776. So this one's about Jared Kelnick. 253 says, do you think Kelnick will have a breakout season for the Braves?
Well, he plays for the Braves. he's gonna like, they're gonna put him in the old 7 or 8 hole, and he's just gonna thrive probably. I actually played with the guy he's replacing, Rosario, too, and it was another situation where he got put in a great situation to thrive.
Yeah.
So and Jared's obviously younger and runs better and is primed to go. So that's a great lineup for him to be and to continue to get better, and a lot of really, really good players for him to learn from. So I think I think maybe here he was maybe feeling a little more pressure than he needed to do more, and like turn into something that he was being projected to do, and maybe a vision of himself that he has for himself, which I totally understand. But it's a good. There's a lot of stars there, and he doesn't have to be the guy, and so he has an opportunity to kind of become that guy without all that extra pressure, I think. So I wouldn't be surprised if he had a crazy year.
Love me some Mariners. Grew up a Dodger fan.
Okay.
Mookie playing shortstop. How do you feel about that? What are your thoughts on that?
I'm the biggest Mookie Mantle fan on the planet, man. He's he's the most impressive athlete I've ever seen with the bowl. He's just good at everything. He's that guy. Like, you're like, he's like, hey, you want to play some video games? I'm like, I've never seen play video games, but I'm out. I know you're just going to destroy me. But yeah, him just casually, that is not something that happens. No one moves to shortstop in the big leagues. They move away from it. And he is that type of athlete. He can play anywhere on the field. I guarantee you he could catch, you know, adequately at the big league level. Just give him one day to get used to it. So I think it's awesome. I love that they're like, hey, you want to play short? He's like, yeah.
I'll give it a go.
I'll do it. Why not? He's been talking openly about how he's trying to get faster this year. I'm like, aren't you 30, like 2 years old? No one gets faster at 32.
He will.
I bet you Mookie gets faster. Yeah.
Going to the AL East, obviously Garrett Cole out for 1 to 2 months. We'll see what happens there with that rotation. I saw Ben Verlander tweet, hey, who's your guys' sleeper pick for 2024? I'm going Yankees, which is the most boring sleeper pick because it's the Yankees. But do you see them as taking a step forward? I mean, how do you see that team this year? For fans, Yankees fans, not a World Series is a failure.
Yeah.
But you can also make the case for them doing better.
I love that they don't make the playoff 1 year and now they're sleeper.
Yeah, exactly. That's my favorite thing ever. 27 pennants, just, sleeper team.
So I'm actually fairly high on them, too, because I think there's two things that are going to that could get better that can make them a much better team. I think adding Stroman was big because he's really consistent. He's hyper consistent in the starting rotation. Losing Garrett is not good. So this was predicated on that happening because I think now more pressure is on Rodon to really step up. And I really wish Garrett would be kind of in the way so that Rodon could kind of like get back because he's going to be much better. Like there's no way to go but up for him. And he kind of has this thing where he's like horrible and then really good and then horrible. And so now we're in that year where he's supposed to be really good. And he's learned a lot from last year and he's healthy. So, but I was, if Garrett were there, I think Rodon would have a chance to kind of become kind of the 1B pitcher. And if that happened, they're cooking because that solves a big problem. And then adding Soto is like, I hate pitching that guy. But it was also so much fun, but also just awful. He's going to make him and Aaron Judge together. Like you can't pitch around both of them. Like you can't put them both on because Rizzo might hit homer or someone's going to hit homer in that tiny park. So that's in the last couple of years, you could just pitch around Judge. And then they were the Pirates after that. Mm-hmm. They were like, statistically, they remove him from it. They had the same offensive stats as the Pirates, and that's not great.
Goodness gracious.
So, adding Soto is going to make Judge way better somehow. So I think those two guys together, if they get it clever, and then, like, Volpe takes another step forward, and then, like, you know, I think that's a pretty good core right there, and they got veterans, and LeMahieu has a little bit better year, so they just score more runs, and they win. I think they're going to be better, but Garrett needs to not be hurt for a long time. That's very important.
There's been the relationship between management and the players, I feel like here hasn't been the greatest. How important is that? Because at the end of the day, you got to go out there and you got to perform, no matter what DePoto is saying, the 54 or whatnot. But, you know, as a guy in the clubhouse, how does that affect the way you guys play and the mentality when you hit the diamond?
It's different for different guys. There's lots of guys that, like, don't even think about that. Like, they don't really, they haven't had a lot of interaction with them anyway, so it's like it's not a huge part of their thought pattern on a day-to-day basis. But like, I think Cal did a good, like, I think what he said kind of hit it. Like, it's tough to buy into that when you're the player, like the things that are being said. And that can affect you because you're like, why, like, when things are going not so great, if you're not fully bought in and you don't fully feel supported, it's going to take away from that energy. And it's just like, it's like an obstacle you could just be purposeful and not put in the way, and you have a better chance of winning. So I hope that it's not an issue, but you know, it's not great when you don't feel supported by the powers that be or that own your team, or that you don't feel like, like, that door's not open. Like, you can't even go and ask a question if you need it. And, you know, I don't know how many guys feel comfortable enough to like, have that type of conversation with the guy making decisions about their career. But, you know, from, like I said, most guys, it's just not a huge deal for them.
Yeah. You obviously know a ton about baseball, have plenty of experience with the game, but you're a very candid and honest conversationalist. Where can people find more from you?
I am always around on Twitter. I am Trevor May, or X. I guess it's not called
I
X.
Say both it. Now.
We're just calling. Just call. We're gonna call it Twitter. We're gonna call it Twitter. It was the most recognizable brand in the world. Why'd we change it? And you can find me on YouTube. That's Trevor May Baseball. That's kind of I'm I've been leaning very heavily on that. There's a lot of content going there, and we talk about a lot of the same things we just talked about. So,
all right, Trevor May dives. Baseball. Yeah. He is Trevor May, kind enough to join us in studio. Thanks, Trevor. We appreciate it.
Of course,
all right, you guys, don't go anywhere.
Bumpin' Stacy.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
On Seattle Sports.
Here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacy Ross.
Thank you again, Trevor May, joining us in studio to talk about the Mariners. Take a look around baseball for a couple other stories there. You can catch him, Trevor May Baseball, on YouTube. You can also see him on Foul Territory. He just started with them, I think, today or yesterday. So that's a new gig as well. You can catch him there. Really good stuff from Trevor. Bump, what stood out to you? We asked him all kinds of questions.
I loved his answer about, celebrating. And it makes sense because in any sport, if you do something great, you make a play,
Yeah. You
should be allowed to celebrate, but with your teammates. And I appreciated that. I saw a clip of this young man in college, I want to say. He got walked, and he just looked at his dugout and celebrated, and threw him out the game. I go, he did nothing to the pitcher. He did nothing to the other team. He just looked at his teammates and celebrated. So I liked that one, and I also loved your question when you asked about the nastiest pitch, and he said brash. Because I felt like he was going to say that because there's so much movement on that slider. And to hear his perspective, another pitcher, I give props to that. Gets me excited for when he's healthy and ready to go.
Well, it's interesting, too. He got really analytical with it and talked about, like, you know, making two pitches look the same for longer by adding velocity or keeping it within in the same range. And Trevor, added like 10 miles or 8 or 10 miles per hour to his own curveball. And he's like, it obviously didn't work the same, you know, with my slider, my effectiveness versus brash. But that the first time he tried it, who did he say? Like,
he said he swung and missed, whoever it was.
Well, yeah, swung and miss. The only thing I wish I would have asked is who he most and least enjoyed pitching against. Like, he talked about Juan Soto, how he's so difficult but also really fun to pitch against.
Yeah,
I would have liked to hear more of those. Like, what makes someone impossible?
I know. I liked the way he described the Yankees after you pitched around.
Being the
judge.
Pirates?
I'm like, for real? I'm going to look that up, man. But, no, it's then he talked about just how it's such an advantage to play for the Yankees in that stadium. It's so little out there. I remember when we hit like 4 or 5 home runs in one game against them a couple of years ago, I want to say, like, Kelnick got one, Julio got one, I want to say. It was interesting also to hear his perspective on the Yankees. Like, oh, you don't go to the playoffs 1 year and now you're underdog. So it's validating because, it's a privilege for the Yankees to have those expectations because they go out and they're going to spend money every single year. And it's interesting to hear them almost embrace the season they had last year because it just gives them or keeps that chip on their shoulder. And I could imagine when you can go out and get the best players, when you play in that stadium over there, expectations are high. You lose a chip. I'm not saying that these guys don't go out there and prepare and play hard, but I've been in situations where we're favored to win and we're the underdog. And it is so much easier to get up for a game where you're an underdog to where the people just expect you to go out and do your thing.
When we're talking about starting early, this was a listener question being like, hey, when does it's early become inexcusable? It was interesting to hear from a player perspective because when we talk about the season, and I will just warn you guys that this will be something that we do, we have 20 hours of sports radio a week. So on March 29th or on the following weekend, the beginning of April, when the Mariners are in their first two series of the year, we're going to have reaction because we got 4 hours to talk and it's exactly what I would say if I was, you know, talking to one of my friends and saying like, oh my God, what about that last night? And you'll have this natural instinct to stop yourself from doing that and be like, oh my God, it's so early. But there is a limit to that. And there is a point when that stops. And I do think it's earlier than people think.
And I also think that it's the way the Mariners lose coming out the gate. Sometimes you can just look at an opponent, you look at their lineup, you look at their pitching and how they've executed and say, they were just so much better on that day. when you have the lineup that we have now, and Trevor said he liked some of the moves, you and I have grown to like the moves, right? Because it took so long, we're trying to guess, okay, what are the Mariners going to do next? But now it all makes sense, right? So now you're looking at these guys, and I think it's fair to expect them to come out and look better than they did last year, especially if their pitcher can stay healthy. Yeah. Every athlete wants to come out hot. I don't care if you're playing 250 games. You want to come out and feel like your team is playing some good baseball or single ball or whatever you're doing. So, for us, it's easier for us to kind of to overreact because of what we do. But I think that it's important to get a player's perspective and have them understand, like, yeah, you're not always going to have your best game.
Mm-hmm. It's always interesting to hear someone talk about you liked kind of getting back to the culture of baseball. I liked your question to him about, hey, getting back to how we started the interview with that 54% comment.
Mm-hmm.
Does that matter? Because you were thinking like, hey, I've been a player, and with the place that you were in your pro career, you were like, I need to focus on making the team. Yeah. I need to focus on
what don't matter what's going on upstairs.
But that's not the case for everyone. For Cal, you know, that's someone who can focus on whether or not his team believes. And that's someone who matters to his team in a very different way, where like maybe those voices do get in there and maybe you do wonder. It was interesting to hear a player perspective about like, do you think Mariners players pay attention to it?
Yeah, I think the guys who pay attention are Julio, Franz, JP, and the starting rotation. They're locked in because they know they're probably going to be here for 4 to 5 years. Now, dudes who are in that rotation or depth pieces that we talk about, they're like, I just got to focus on me and show up and do my thing. There's so many different situations on a team as far as expectations and who else has the loudest voice. And I think at the end of the day, all the noise is happening during the offseason. Once you run out there and it's time to play, if you don't do your job, none of that matters anyway. And I think the reason why Cal was able to speak up and these guys are able to do those things because they are the best on the team at doing their job. So for them, the situation is always going to be a bit different. And I think it's important for people to hear that from a former player, too.
All right, you guys. Again, you can check out more from Trevor May at Trevor May Baseball on YouTube. You can also catch him on Foul Territory. What a voice for radio, by the way.
Yeah.
Yo, he popped on the mic. I haven't watched a lot of his Twitch stream. A few people were like, oh, I immediately knew who this was.
Mm-hmm.
But the second was like, hello, I'm Trevor May. Let's talk about pitching. That's my intro for Trevor May.
That's good.
I know. Get your questions in for What I Need to Know. Wrapping up the show on a Wednesday, 866-979-3776. Again, 866-979-3776. Your questions, our answers right around the corner. Don't go anywhere. This is Bump and Stacey.
Bump and Stacey.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
On Seattle Sports.
Here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacey Rost.
It's What I Need to Know, brought to you by All Red Heating, Cooling, and Electric. Get your questions into the Mac and Jack's text line, 866-979-3776. What I Need to Know, are you going to do a live show from T-Mobile Park on opening day again? Tell the people what they want to hear.
We there, but we ain't outside, though.
Hell yeah, we aren't. I'm so excited.
We inside.
Now, again, I think last year there was like maybe two people that actually came outside. Someone gave us donuts, which was really nice.
It started off kind of slim. As a show, like, got towards the last hour, it picked up a bit.
You know why? We're there at 10 a.m. in the cold, in the shadows, on cement. The game is at 7.
Mm-hmm.
No one is there. And we love being there on opening day, but so sorry to the two people that would have hung out with us. Wyman and Bob, I wonder if they'll be outside. I don't know.
They are going to be at Hatback.
At Hatback, yeah. Which obviously
on the patio.
2 p.m., that's when it starts to pick up. People are getting excited. Mm-hmm. Opening day is going to be amazing. But Bump and I are going to be having coffee and donuts in the booth. But we will be giving you guys sights and sounds from the stadium. So if we see players out there doing some stretching, walking around, we'll have guests.
You know what I'll be doing? I'll be doing my old man thing. I caught myself the other day. You know how traditionally men cross their legs, right? Put the foot like on your thigh and it's opened up. I did the old man legs together cross the other day. I was like, oh, dang, I'm getting old. That's what I'll be doing in that booth.
What's the last thing you guys did where you were like, I am aging? And it's different for everyone.
I called my wife when I was going to see my dad last week. the plane got set down in Oklahoma because of weather. And I was so frustrated. I had to figure out how to change flights and stuff. And I just called my wife, like, can you just do this for me? Because I'm hot. She goes, oh, you need me. I go, yes, I'm getting old. I need you.
See, my dad has my mom respond to text. He refuses to learn to text. So he'll be like, she'll read him the text and he'll be like, okay, say, like, he has her type it out. He got a brand new iPhone and had it for a week and then gave it back. He was like, I don't want this.
This is too much technology. Yeah. Too much
responsibility. Do Siri respond? Talk to
text? He doesn't know. No? He is figuring out that, like, that cable isn't DVR. That, like, he's learning a lot of things, okay? We've got to go. Be patient with him.
Cable's not DVR.
Curtis, what was your old man moment?
My old man moment is our TV, our soundbar, and our Apple TV all have different remotes. And so if we lose one remote, you can't even watch TV. So I spend a lot of time complaining just
about
to know
remote.
One, being like, I just wish there was just one remote. Like, why do we need three remotes to watch one thing? This is stupid.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
And if you know the size of an Apple remote,
They're tiny. You've got to get like a little cover for those, or you have to get like a loop that it hooks on.
I've seen people attach them to like spatulas so that's easier to find if you lose it.
I can see that.
Yeah.
What I need to know, I need some advice. I'm helping out a friend who's in and out of relationships and wants to settle down, but still can't stop attracting crazy partners. Is it a better way to tell my friend that it's better to gauge interest before trying to date someone, or just to try to find someone you normally don't go for? So should this person say, hey, maybe you don't jump into a relationship? Like, is that better advice? Or do they tell their friend, try going for someone you'd never go for?
Nah, date like two or three at a time. Figure it out.
Get a roster.
Get a 3-on-3 tournament.
I think maybe, yeah, take it a little slower.
You can date multiple people at the same time.
It depends how serious you get with those people.
Yeah, but you got to let them know, like, hey, we're seeing other people. This is just, you know, we're trying to see if we want to go steady, as Curtis said last week.
I think sometimes good advice is dating someone you wouldn't normally date. Me and my boyfriend are very different. However, another good bit of advice that I remember a friend giving to another friend that I was privy to, and I was like, ooh, she got her, was saying, well, why do you like this person?
Uh-huh.
And sometimes people, their reasoning is like, oh, they're cute.
They fine.
Yeah, exactly. And
I
it's like, but
job.
Why do you like them? And then if you
there's
realize...
There's got to be something more to it than just physical attraction.
And if you realize the question of why do you like them, you can't think of a couple answers to, then you're doing it for the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
I wish best of luck for your friend.
It's deep.
Yeah, but there's also nothing wrong with trying to work your way through that. If they want to settle down, fine, but they shouldn't feel pressure to.
Nah.
Let's see. What I need to know. What you have to do, one, this is horrible. Admit that Aaron Rodgers would be a great VP, or admit that Crocs are the perfect crossroad of function and fashion.
I'll admit Crocs are a perfect crossroad of function and fashion.
What if exactly Aaron Rodgers is nice at it, though?
No.
What if he's nice?
No.
There's a possibility. I mean, I agree with
there's
you.
There's a possibility.
But there's a possibility.
He's a smart guy.
There's
but
not a possibility.
You never know. No, see
does
what Bump
exist.
Did to me just now? Do you see how this is what a co-host, I automatically was like, yeah, you never know. Stop tricking me. Someone said an old man moment, fart and blame it on the cat.
I've blamed on my kids so many times.
Oh, yeah.
So many times.
That is a classic parent move.
Let's see. Bump, how do you feel the news of Mike Jackson? Do we have news on Mike Jackson?
Wow. They tendered him it was like a fifth-round tender. And by the way,
there was
news on the Daryl Taylor front. It looked like the Seahawks had not tendered him a contract, which would have made him a free agent, but Bob Condotta tweeting this just moments ago. My understanding is Seahawks reached an agreement to extend Daryl Taylor before the restricted free agency deadline today. Explains why he was not on any of the official lists. We don't know how long that extension is for, but it looks like Daryl Taylor's still around.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we'll keep an eye on that one.
Yeah.
866-979-3776. Get your questions in. This one, what I need to know. Why no trades for Russell Wilson and Justin Fields? Russell was released, so the Broncos got nothing for him. And probably the same thing will happen with the Bears and Fields. It seems odd, from Ralph in Bellevue.
I don't think you can release Fields. because you're going to be able to get something out of Fields.
Well, no one wanted Russell's contract.
Yeah, right. No one wanted that $39 million for the year. But with Fields, no, you'll get a draft pick out of it. You're not releasing him.
Yeah, when you trade, you're taking on that contract. And so for Russ, and it depends, right? Like when Russ was traded to Denver, the Seahawks still had part of Russ's contract on their books. So you can negotiate certain things, but no one was taking that on. No. It's kind of like Jamal Adams. People are like, oh, can you get something for Jamal? No one's taking that contract on, especially when they know that you have no choice but to release them. Facts. People knew the Broncos had no choice but to release Russ. What I need to know, do you claim it if your significant other drops a bomb in public, real love? Oh, like that sacrifice.
Oh, you take the blame for theirs?
I do it. It's never happened, or at least I haven't been made aware it happened, but I do it.
You would do it for Jen.
Yeah,
that's true love. I believe that you would. I believe that you'd have maybe Jen looks at you and you just, that was me.
Well, excuse me.
Yeah. Or you let out a huge cough to mask any sort of noise that somebody's making.
Yeah.
Cough too hard, man. You might get a 2-for-1, Curtis.
From the 509, what if you are dating someone and when someone asks you why, the only thing you can think of is that they're really hot? Then you're dating them for the wrong reason. I mean, maybe the right reasons for you.
At that point in your life,
who am I to tell you? But I just think that that changes.
That's just an immature relationship. I've dated people just because of the way they looked. You know, it's just, hey, too young to try to settle down anyway. So it is what it is.
Well, and you don't want to date someone. You can do whatever you want. But I would not advise dating someone on something that is subject to change. People age. Mm-hmm. People change. Mm-hmm. People gain weight, they lose weight.
But who you are at the core?
That's what matters. You know, date someone because they're funny, because you get along.
You know the best advice my dad ever gave me?
What?
He goes, before you marry her, see her without her makeup. I go, knowledge.
Yeah.
And it worked.
All right, you guys. this was to make us all feel old. 206, my old man moment. Educating my young cousin about Griffey.
Oh, jeez.
No, just aged us all out of here. All right, you guys, that will do it for us today. For Michael Bumpus, Curtis Rogers, Matt Nelson, I'm Stacey Ross. Don't go anywhere. Wyman and Bob joining you from Peoria next.